All right, welcome back to Always Evolving. I'm here with Mark and Heidi D'Amelio. And if you don't know who Mark and Heidi are, you may know their daughters, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And your life has taken off in the last few years in a totally different direction than you had on your vision board, right?
You could say that. In less than a few years.
Yes.
A year and a half.
And what happened? You're now in LA. So
do you want to take?
Well, I think like most parents, when you have kids, you think you have these crazy aspirations for what your kids are going to do, and then you settle into reality and realize, all right, they're going to go to school, they're going to do extracurricular activities, they might play a sport, and then because we were so close to New York, we did some castings and some things, and for the most part, we as a family weren't really into it. And it kind of just went away. And then we were at the, Dixie was a senior, right? Or junior?
Senior. End of her
junior. Both of them were in high school and we were just looking at the finish line going,
yeah,
senior. Cool, man. We're going to be, Dixie's going to be in college. Right. Charlie's going to be out of high school and then we'll figure out what we're doing. And then this happened.
And what is this? Like, so for people who don't know, what is this?
So, Charlie was making videos with her friends at school and she would show them to me. And I was like, wait, what is it? Is this like Vine? Like, what is it? What's all the dancing? I was so confused. And she was like, it's TikTok. And I was like, well, where's your page? And she was like, well, I don't have one. Because Charlie's a dancer. She's been dancing since she's three. And so they would ask her to learn the dances and teach it to them, and then they'd make TikToks.
Right.
And so she didn't even have an account. It was previously Musical.ly, which she did a few Musical.lys, and then like if you were doing Musical.ly, you were getting made fun of, so she stopped because
it wasn't cool enough.
It wasn't cool. No, she was just insecure about it. So, but she really did enjoy it. She will never, ever say that. Fast forward. So they're doing this. So finally, she was like, oh, I'm going to start. She was having so much fun doing it. I'm going to start my own account. So she did. I think that was the end of her freshman year of high school. And then mid-July, she had her first video go viral.
In 2019.
And then pretty much every video after that went viral. Dixie is making fun of her the whole time. She was like, this is so embarrassing. I cannot believe you're making these videos.
She's 14 at the time.
15. She had just turned 15.
Okay, so the first time she goes viral.
She just
turned 15. Right on TikTok. What emotions did you all have?
So I was driving her to this dance intensive. It was a three-day thing. And we're on our drive, she was like, there's like 5,000 likes and 10,000. And so she goes into this dance class for 3 hours and comes out and there's like, I don't know, 300,000 views or something or likes. And she was freaking out. Like, what do I do? What do I do now? What do I do now? What do I do now? And I was like, what do you mean? What do you do now? Like, I was so removed from like, I never had that thought. Like, what if you go viral? What do you do now? And so I was like, she was shaking. Mm. She was just like, okay, basically I'm famous now. Like kidding.
It's like but, the 15 minutes of yeah, fame, right? Like and you guys are like, this is just a moment?
Yeah. Well, you know, she's been dancing a long time. She wasn't pursuing, I want to go viral or whatever. She had her path. Right. She had her path from when she was probably middle school. She wanted to be in a college dance team.
She's an unbelievable dancer.
There was two options that she had decided between going to a college with a dance program or being on a college dance team.
Right.
And that was more appealing to her. It was more like sports and like they compete and stuff like that. So that she knew where she wanted to go. She knew the choreographers there. She wanted to go to UNLV. The choreographers there are Jennifer Lopez's choreographer. So right. She had this very clear path.
Nappy taps.
Yep. And she was not going to change that. And so this started happening and it went fast. That's all everybody was talking about on TikTok. And it was pretty wild.
So the first time she goes viral, the two of you are like, oh, Charlie made a video and it was popular. Like, was that what you guys said to each other? Like, oh, that's interesting.
We were, we were all on social media and we knew Vine. So it was kind of, we knew exactly what was happening. And I'm in the apparel industry and a lot of the companies I work with have social media that right. we've been, so we weren't like had our heads buried in the sand. So we knew, but then I also knew a year or so prior Vine was exploding and then it went away. So we're just like, we didn't think it would be life altering for them right. at that point. We just thought it was like, oh, this is cool. Like we saw the, I saw the power in it that it could be positive for her for whatever she wants to do, but we couldn't imagine what
you couldn't imagine she'd have 108 million plus right. followers on TikTok today.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
And the Dixie at this point is still making fun of her. So every right. video after that was
a like hit.
Same.
And explain who Dixie is because they.
Oh, so Dixie is Charlie's older sister who grew up doing musical theater, singing, and sports. When she hit high school, she just kind of abandoned the music and singing and just did sports and like senior in high school, having right. a blast, like already knew she was going to University of Alabama. Her stuff was good. Making fun of Charlie. She was like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. But if you hit a million, I'll get on. Cause it was, we were talking about it so much. Cause it was so crazy.
Was
like
crazy.
What is happening? So Charlie hits a million. And she introduced Dixie. And Dixie had an account that was super private that was like not even her name. So we were like, you were out of town. And I was like, you better get your name before
someone else does.
Yeah. So she quickly did that when Charlie posted it and then the whole thing. And then she blew up and they were like, oh my God, there's two of them. So that was pretty wild. And then just everybody started trying to contact us or contact them. For, you know, they wanted them to do TikToks to their music and stuff like that. And I was like, people don't make money doing that. That's, you know, the first one that was like, can you, this, someone in a, at a record label reached out to her and said, could you do a TikTok to this song for $75? And so she was so excited. She sends it, she shows me and I'm like, that's not real. That's very cute. But no, people, no, that's weird. No, who's going to pay you to do a TikTok to their song? That is not even a thing. And so I was like, if anybody wants to talk to you, they can come through me and give him my email. So he emailed right away. And I was like, oh, wait, this is actually real. What is happening? So she did that. And then she went first on that audio. It used to be that way. Like the person with the most likes or views, you could see who it is. So that started happening. And she was being like first on every audio that she would do. It was insane.
And at what point... were both of you kind of like, oh my God, like this is actually a thing. Like, did you have a moment of like, and you're a businessman and you're thinking people are really willing to leverage what she can do. And yet it's your daughter.
So there was a time when she just was, when she started to get in the multiple hundreds of thousands, when she was at 500,000, I was doing business out in LA and we have a family calendar and she was just looking at it and said, Dad, you're going out to California next week, right? I was like, yes. And kind of the Heidi story before, Charlie and I did a trip to UNLV and she went and checked out the dance team like 6 months prior to that. So we did some trips and I did a trip with Dixie to see other colleges too. And so I was like, you want to come to California? And she's like, yeah. And I said, well, these are the rules. You're staying with me. And if you're going to see friends, I want to know who you're going to meet with and all that. Right. And as we landed, she had about half a million followers. And I went on some of the meetings. She met with this website called Famous Birthdays and a few other things. And then I'm sitting there trying to use some of my contacts and I'm like friends that are in the apparel industry that right. deal with influencers. I'm like, what's going on? And a lot of people said, look, there's a ton of people with hundreds of thousands right. of followers. And even if you have millions of followers, it doesn't mean you're going to be able to sell a product or anything like
and
that.
And it doesn't mean other people want what you have.
Exactly.
You know, like you can be one of those people who has tons of followers and you can do it for purely attention seeking purposes to create like fake skits or mean stuff. And like, mm-hmm. it's almost like there's like the Tekashi 6ix9ines of TikTok, but it's not, you don't really want what they have. Like you're not gonna suddenly dye your hair rainbow colors and get 6ix9ine tattooed on your face. Right.
Yeah, and that was what was interesting about Charlie is we're used to Instagram. So everyone right. on Instagram has his persona, the lighting's right, the filters are right. And it took us a while to understand, like, she's the girl next door. We're middle-class family living in Connecticut. Like, what is, and the, we've kind of figured it out that although she's a beautiful kid and she's really has a great personality, she was kind of like the girl next door, but also she was authentic. She didn't do, it was, her dances were authentic. The way she looked in camera was authentic. Her room being, I say this, people have probably heard this before, but we would say to her, dude, you got to clean your room. Like your bed's not made. Like right. It's our house. Like it's a bad reflection on it. And she's like, dad, you don't understand. They just want TikTok. And she explained it. And
right.
I was like, she would cool. have pimple cream on. And Mark and I are like, as the numbers are going up, I'm like, I just don't get it.
I think I'm just going to shut up.
And then,
and then here we are where she is like over 100 million. Dixie's got over 50 million. You guys have over 10 million. You also have huge Instagram platform. You have a huge platform, period. Like you're have become in a few years, like in my, you don't need to say this, but like the most relevant, hot family that like has taken off. And that has so many options in terms of projects to be involved with. People want to meet you guys because your kids seem very nice. And you also haven't been in Hollywood a long time. So there's not like so many layers, you know, you guys are kind of like, I mean, I hate to say, and you have a show coming out in your family. And this is me saying, it's kind of like the next generation of Kardashians. No,
I mean, a lot of people say that, and I could first of all, we don't feel what you're saying, because I think just with COVID and everything, we don't, the girls don't they see the numbers, they appreciate it, they get it, but we're kind of just in our house for the most part doing things like this every once in a while, and we're just kind of working and trying to like figure out the best way to go about this, that everybody's happy and having fun and everybody's in a good mental state and parenting. And so we don't feel that. People right. tell us that stuff and we don't feel it, just because, you know, I don't know. I think when you're going to events and there's, you know, crowds of people around, and we see it like when the girls, I mean, we've been to the mall with Dixie and Noah, and it's like mayhem. Crazy. And Charlie doesn't go out quite as much, but when she does, it's, I mean, just driving in the car on like people crossing in the crosswalk, they'll spot her and come to the car. So yeah. It's pretty, we see it. We're not stupid, but at the same time, we definitely don't feel it. I think because it's the four of us. Like, it's not like it's one of us and the others are looking at it like, oh my God, this whole thing. It's all of us. So we're just kind of living our day to day. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge compliment, because they've been able to create this unbelievable business for themselves and longevity. And whether that's, you know, the route they took was, you know, they were in uncharted waters for themselves. And we do kind of look at them for like, how the, like just on the, even the little things, like when you're struggling and you're getting dragged, like how do they do it for so long? You know, it's hard. And so we've heard that. I don't know if
I'm with you. I think that I've worked with a lot of my families, right? Entertainment, a lot of pop stars, actresses, a lot of families I've worked with. What's different about your family is it's part of it's your lifestyle. It's not like there's one person in the family who's only the star, where everyone's reliant and dependable on one person in the family, because that creates a really unhealthy dynamic. But it's true though, you guys are more of a lifestyle.
Yeah, I think we
like, I work with J-Lo and Ariana, and I've worked with all those, but it's like, it's just them, and the family's always like, so it's like a weird dynamic. It's like the person has the power, who's that one
right
person.
I think we kind of looked at it early on that, look, it's exciting and it's fun, but like we're at the age where we're not looking to, and people's always sort of like, yeah, sure, you're not in, you don't want to be in the limelight. Like we want to be, I think we're better off as a family unit doing this than some of these single
right.
celebrities that have kind of gotten destroyed out here in LA. And because Charlie was 15 and we are entrepreneurial. We kind of figured out that, all right, it might be better to do this together. And if she's having a tough day, you know, and there were times like when Charlie was just kind of struggling early on, Dixie kind of took the reins and said, all right, I'm going to do this music thing. And then her song came out and it was kind of cool to have Charlie in the background. But
And Charlie was so happy to be in the background. When Dixie was shooting her first music video, we had to clear the calendar for about 3 days. And she was like, just like, I love this, Dixie, you do it. Like, you know, and I think, yeah, early on we made a point to set things up so that there isn't that pressure on Charlie or Dixie. They have a podcast together. There's some days like one of them struggling and they just can't do it, so they do it alone. And you know, I think they feel that, and they have said, you know, it feels really good knowing it's like if you don't show up and like are on, a lot of things get like crumble, so they don't really feel that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watching on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So what has it been like to be in this culture of, you know, people getting so upset? I feel like the bigger your platform is, all of a sudden you literally could like walk the wrong way and they'll be like, that's a sketchy walk.
Actually, or like, yeah, I think that has happened. I think that has happened.
What?
Well, Charlie was walking the dog and it was the way she was walking. There was something weird with her legs. I'm not joking. She was like,
it's a tough balance because you have to have one side understand how fortunate and blessed and lucky and this is what a lot of people strive for, wanting to be in the public eye. And then when you're there, I try to spend time and appreciate it and say, this is for being 52 years old, to thinking, you know, we had a really cool life prior to this.
Right.
You know, I had an office in New York City. We lived 50 miles from New York. I was born in New York City. So it wasn't like they pulled us out of the, you know, middle of nowhere. We had a good thing going, but I tend to look at the side of like, this is a really cool adventure for our family. And unless it's something that is life threatening or like someone comes in with some threat or something, I think I've kind of just learned to like not let the noise, how we walk or talk or any of that, get to us.
Does any noise get through?
Absolutely.
Still?
Yeah.
And do you guys coach each other when the noise gets thrown? Do you know how to like help each other through it?
You know, I don't know if you call this lucky, but we are kind of lucky in that we are all get dragged at different times. So you have three people that are feeling good and like,
what was the most ridiculous drag that you had?
For between the four of us?
Yeah, like for you and for you, Heidi and Mark.
I think what the stuff that's the truth is whatever, you right. know, it's you. It's you, yeah. Who you are, so you got to deal with that. The lies are, and the stuff that tugs at your core and fabric as a person. Like there was this, and it's already been talked about, but there was this thing where we forced Dixie and Charlie to do content and it got legs on it. And what happens is it'll start in some kid will post it like some 10, you don't even say, hi, I'm Sally, I'm 10 years old, and this is my profile. And then you're like, wait, this person posted this, and then it gets on the, it's almost like it just escalates. It goes from a post to the T pages, which is where they kind of have the gossip pages, and then it'll get picked up by a lower level media account, and then it'll be, does Mark and Heidi abuse their kids? Question mark.
Right.
And you're like, dude.
To have our name in that same sentence with abuse is just like, it's like punch in the gut. That's probably been the worst for us.
And the other thing I always say is like, we obviously got where we are. So there is some intelligence there, but there's not some master plan where we're like, hey, Charlie, this is your, like, we're figuring it out.
You're going to be the next bionic woman 10 years from now and be in a Marvel, like, you're not there. You're like, holy cow, this has been a wild ride. And like, let's see what comes and let's have fun as a family and be healthy.
I look at this as an opportunity to open up for more opportunities. I don't look at this as, there's obviously a big financial windfall in this if the girls and we do it right. But this is more like why we got involved. Because I'm like, look, if I want to start another clothing brand, having 10 million followers when I walk into it. So we've kind of embraced that, not necessarily to be influencers, but just to have options for ourselves when our kids are, Dixie already moved out. Charlie will probably move out. She has the ability to do it when she turns 18. She could stay and as long as she wants, but we don't really have this big master plan. And when people come and say, this is what the parents are doing, we're like, yeah, dude, I'm not that smart to figure out.
Yeah, it's an odd thing for people to do too. You're almost like, it's weird energy, right? Like it's interesting to me that people go, whether you troll or whether you say something, it's odd. Like, I mean, I understand gossip back in the day, maybe you call a friend and you talk about someone, but you don't like try to spread lies, or at least I never did, but it's very unusual that people like to do that.
Well, you know, I think this app in particular with TikTok is you can get famous off of a negative comment or a negative post. And that's what people are trying to do at all cost.
Interesting.
They don't care. So they will, and it'll be, you know, it'll sometimes come out of a straight lie and people think it's true. So now they're famous because they brought the attention to this and it's.
I'm an ex-meth addict and I used to sell drugs and I've even done some very unsavory things and everyone knows that. But I kind of am like, it is what it is. Like we do things. But like, if someone tried to use that against me, it sucks because it's like, whatever, I made a mistake. Or
I think the problem is like the problem for me is when something is so far from, you know, you could recognize the mistake that you've made, and I think we all do. Mm-hmm. But what I find with social media is like, it's relentless on, you know, I have a body of work of 52 years and for the most part that I've made a lot of mistakes, but overall, I think I've probably been if you ask the people that know me the most and are closest to me would say, you know, I'm generous, I'm compassionate, all those great things. And with even, Not just myself, but other influencers, like it starts these one little things. And I'm not talking about something heinous that is, you know, your sexual predator or something like that. I'm just talking about that you start to get things, whether they're true or false, that start to define you. And that's been my issue with some of these things. Like I was just reading, you know, there was this thing that Charlie buys followers, you know, or Charlie's dad bought her followers. Couldn't be further from the truth, but it starts to get legs and it starts to chip away at someone's or the perception of someone's character, not necessarily who they are. So
also I feel like maybe because we're in it more, but no one, but especially these kids, I feel like they're not allowed to make mistakes, you know? And
yeah, I've seen Charlie do apology videos and I'm like, clearly that's not what she meant.
Yeah.
I'm like, on my end, I'm like, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm like, God, it's kind of this pressure that you have to like make different groups happy, even if it's almost like intention doesn't matter. It's like,
you're right.
Like, it's not even intention. And then it's suddenly like, no, you're wrong.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I struggled with that early on when like political correctness started, because like I would see my grandfather, who was a loving, compassionate person, had things that he would say that were not off color, but were just like, he would say sweetheart and mm-hmm. and things and or how you gals doing, and everybody would be up in arms. And I was like, but let's talk about his, not what you're feeling about that, but what was his intent? His intent was love, compassion, would give the shirt off of his back for you, but we're turning it into something different. So, and that's what I see a lot with today in today's culture is it's all about how someone necessarily feels about something and not what's in my heart.
Does that create anxiety at all for you guys?
For the girls?
I think for us, it just, you get a watered down, you don't get to know the real person because they're so concerned with how is this person going to feel if I say what's really on my mind? And we're going to just get a bunch of people that talk the same way. And well, we know that's not,
right.
And I see that a lot. And you have certain guys that are able to probably say, be more open with their, like Joe Rogan, for example, I think is really good as far as kind of not filtering but yeah, I mean, it sucks to go around life trying to with a filter on all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I have this project that I'm thinking of doing because I feel like people find, at least my opinion, one thing, and they get polarized that they can't get along with each other. And so I want to write my next book on resentments. I've written a few books, and you're right. It what it does is it pushes people not to be authentic if they can't express themselves. And the bigger the platform is, and I certainly think that like you guys have catapulted. And so do you feel like you have to be more careful today? Do you think about it more?
I mean, everything we do, I mean, we did dinner with the D'Amelios that turned into like a horrible situation. It affected all of us because it
is
was
that the one where one of them didn't want to eat snails.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like caviar either.
Yeah.
Well, imagine if it was caviar. How dare you not like this expensive egg?
Both girls had their own, people had issues with separate things that they did. So okay. So part of the bit or the video was we had a chef who we're friends with. Their idea to put the snail in, Dixie was knew about it, but she's got a very sensitive gag reflex. So she gets grossed out and she threw up. And so that was disrespectful to the chef, bratty, no manners. And then James Charles was with us, and he said, she said it would be cool to hit 100 million 1 year, like on the day after hitting 1 million. And James said, oh, is the 95 million not enough? Cause she was at 95 million.
Like joking.
Totally joking. And she's ungrateful. We're just numbers to her. We need an apology. How dare you? It turned into this whole thing, and it was bad. And it was everywhere. I feel like there were people talking about, Wendy Williams was talking about my kids were trash and disrespectful. I'm like, every single person that works with us gets a phone, like whether it's a Zoom call, a phone call, or like actual working on something, they will call Greg that works for us or our agency. And is like, these girls are the most professional, respectful, sweetest.
But like, don't you think, this is my theory. The people, because I'll notice this with books, right? Or like on TikTok, I've realized that I have to be like a hot dad. People seem to be more into that. I could talk about self-help all the day. I've been doing it for 18 years plus. I could do really put thought and soul behind it. And like people are like, okay, cool. Go back in a Speedo. So that's what honestly. So like my videos are ridiculous on TikTok, but it's fun too.
Yeah.
But people would be like, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing more self-help. And what I've come to realize is those people don't buy my books anyways. Mm-hmm. Those are my people.
Yeah.
Like the people who are actually upset aren't actually the people who buy your products, invest in you, give you good energy.
Because they would never say that about you.
No, never. Like you would never say that about someone.
Yeah.
That you loved.
Right.
And so to me, it's this weird thing where it's like having to cater to this media storm.
I think we're in a different situation because we want to be, we put ourselves in the limelight or the spotlight, yeah, or whatever you want to call it, to assist our kids. And I'm very cautious not to do something detrimental that I will embarrass my kids. Like if I were in, you know, CEO of a company and I was on a book tour or whatever, and I would kind of be more free to say what I want to say. I just don't want to the same way you don't want to have your kids get bullied and get hurt.
You don't want to cause anything that would end up causing your kids to have some negative repercussion.
Right.
It's not worth it. And they're the number one priority.
Right.
And I think how you've done it, like I said earlier, is brilliant because it's a part of a family lifestyle. I actually believe they'll be healthier and happier with Hollywood as you're going through it all yourselves, because you can experience it and understand it like they do. You can have empathy. You can have real compassion. There can't be like, you don't understand. It's like, no, I've kind of been dragged and I've been canceled. Yeah. And because, you know, unless you've experienced that, you don't really know how it feels.
You don't really know.
You don't know how it feels when the injustice hits. And you're all about fitness. Your past was photography, modeling, fitness. Is that kind of like where you're putting a lot of energy into now?
I mean, I love to work out. That's my favorite thing to do. So that is going to be...
Do you guys work out together? Mark doesn't like to work out.
We have in the past.
We're just on different journeys, you know?
He's walking, you're running.
I like to lift weights. And that's always going to be a part of me. That's my that and boxing is my favorite thing. So that'll be, you know, that will come up because that is what I'm about. I'm not so much into photography anymore just because I don't have the time to really devote to it. And I think I'm not like, oh, I'm on this fitness path and I'm going to be this person to be the face of that. Like, I think things will just happen naturally. I'm not like seeking that out.
Right.
But I think there is interest there. Like, I'm almost 50 and, you know, I lift weights heavy. And that's like, I think there's a lot of value in what I could talk to that for other people who maybe never lift weights in their weights in their life.
Both of you are attractive.
Oh, thank you.
You're both like a very handsome couple. Your kids are attractive. No, really. I mean, like, you guys like take care of yourselves and like work out and dress well. I mean,
thanks.
You know?
Yeah,
I thought I was older than both of you. I look like Father Time, and I'm 10 years younger.
Yeah, I think we have to Heidi's point before, like, we've definitely put a lot of emphasis on making sure our kids are okay. And I think as you start to get into your 50s, you have to really focus on it, but no excuses. I mean, the only person that interferes with me going with her to the gym is me. That's, you know, there's a time, 24 hours in a day, we can get there. But
so tell me about your podcast now.
I don't know. It's fun.
It's actually really cool because it's when you're going through the day, when a married couple goes through the day, she's doing her thing. I'm doing my thing. I used to be working in my job. She would be doing a lot of the stuff that she does. And then we'd meet for like 5 minutes and I'd still be thinking about my day. She'd be thinking about her day. And it was kind of just chatter, not really deep. But this is actually super cool because it we have to prepare for it, and then we really spend a half hour to 40 minutes talking and having it interact, and we got along from the first day we met, so we get along. It's just like the life just doesn't put you in that position where you're both able to open up at the same time and receive each other. And that's been it's been really cool about that.
Yeah. I mean, our life is going so fast and the days are flying and there's so much going on. That's our time once a week to that's what people want to know. Like, how is this happening? What is happening? And like the behind the scenes of everything. And we talk a lot about that and how it affects each other and the kids and parenting. And so we get that time to sort of process what's happened in the week before, which is nice because sometimes I'm like, where did the last 6 months go? And now I don't feel that as much.
It's cool too because you get to chronicle your life as well in real time. So week by week, you're able to kind of give your perspective, your life, kind of like, you know, I've listened to a few episodes. It's great. It's called The Other D'Amelios.
Yes.
and sometimes you bring, you know, different family members into it. But basically, it's the two of you connecting around what's going on, how you're feeling.
Yes.
What's coming up in the family.
Yes. All of that.
And then do you have a show coming out, TV? Or is it not?
No, I think we can say it. We have a show coming out on Hulu, a family show with all four of us. A docuseries that will probably be this summer. It's coming out.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really.
Yeah, it's been really been fun. Good.
Have you started recording?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I was last on board for doing anything like this because I was like, can we just hold on to something and not let it be out there? Like, but I realized every time we walk out of the house, there's like, we're being recorded. So we're like, okay, let's own it and share our story. And people have this perception of us and who we are and what we're all about. And it's just usually wrong. So we wanted to share all of us. You know what's
cool? It's almost like you're in control of your own narrative and your own story. And instead of just allowing someone else to tell your story, if they want to hear your story, they tune into your podcast, they follow you on social media, they watch the television show, and that's how they get to know you guys.
Right.
That's the source, right?
Yeah. I mean, back to what we were talking about earlier, you get these things that people, you know, they'll show our old house from Connecticut and they make this perception on, but they don't show her first house where, and there's this story of how we got there. And I'm not saying we're not privileged and we don't have a great life, but there is a road we took to get to where we are. And we're not perfect, but I think the truth is better than the fabrication that other people are making. So I'm like, look, if people are going to not like us, at least have them not like us for who we really are.
Can I ask, so do you ever get concerned when, especially as like Dixie and Charlie, like now it's like all of a sudden, like they can make a song happen. They can get more power than radio spins because people replicate the video. It can go from having 8 million views to suddenly another 300,000 people are making videos, right? Like they have more power than a song on a radio with the kids. They really do. Like and so in this like fashion and styling and like, you know, it's a whole, I know you guys have been probably immersed in last year. You're like, okay, there's some characters out here, right? Like, and you know, you want to make sure people are getting in their ear and you want to give them freedom, you know, freedom to make their own mistakes and their own choices. Is it hard because you'll see people really kissing up, or is it not hard?
I mean, first and foremost, we're parenting our teenage girls.
Right.
And they've said this, you know, publicly before, that the best thing about our family is that we keep them in check. So that doesn't happen because they see other people that do that get a little ahead of themselves and are feeling themselves a little too much. And it's such a turnoff to them. And, you know, sometimes things move fast and, you know, if they're a little snippy, I'm like, well, no, you know, we don't leave a set unless they go and tell everyone thank you and how much they appreciate their time. And just because I would be doing that anyway. And sometimes things do, you know, they're tired. It was an 8-hour day and they're ready to get out of there. But that's the basic respect that these people deserve. Like, so I think we are, and they get it and they know, and they're like, oh, I can't believe, or sometimes it's, they left and like, they'll send a text like, and they'll tell me like, I just want you to know, like I told them, thank you. And stuff like that. So we don't have them under our thumb. We trust them, but we definitely make sure that we're still parenting them because there is a lot going on and there are a lot of people in there.
Your wise counsel. So it's like, giving your wise counsel, and by the way, it's parenting, just period, but it's also, you know, they are the most popular kids in this world of digital social media, right? They are the cool kid. Like, whether they want to be or not, kids see them as that. And so when somebody's like that, a lot of people want to be around it because they, and I've seen this working with talent, because then they can, you know, be successful too. And like, it's got to be for them, I imagine. It sounds like they're really level-headed and you guys all talked as a family together, but I got to imagine it's hard sometimes to navigate.
I think early on that, well, so early on the first time when Charlie came with Mark to LA, a friend of hers posted on his account and we were like, why didn't you put that on your account? And she was like, I'm trying to make actual friendships. She's 15. She was like, I don't want anybody to think I'm using them. Just like, I wouldn't want that. Like, she didn't have a following at the time, much of a following at the time, but so, and they've maintained that they will meet, they meet a lot of people and they would never ask for a picture to post with them because they want to make that real connection and they never want anybody to ever feel like they're using them. People do, they feel it when people are doing that to them and like kind of just want to be in the space because they know what's going to come out of it and it doesn't feel good and they avoid those people. And they're very, very smart like that. They just don't want to be around people that don't want to be with them because of who they are.
Right.
And they don't care. Like, not that they don't care about, you know, they have this big following and I could do all this stuff. That's not important to them as much as a real connection and friendship and people that they can really rely on. Mm-hmm. That is the most important thing.
And we've done, for that reason, we've done made the house like this safe space. Like as parents, like there's so many of my friends that have kids. They're like, hey, could you have your daughter do a video for my daughter? Could you have a daughter? And I've
kind of, really? They do?
Oh yeah, all the time. And it's been, but I don't want to have you'll see like there's some TikToks of me and Charlie together, me and Dixie together, but they're kind of just like, I'm never like, hey guys, let's do a TikTok together. And I want to make it our house where they don't have to worry that we as parents, like this is your time to, and Charlie will say all the time, like this is my place where I could vent and be myself. And I'm like, cool. And we protect that. But to your point, like have people come out of the woodwork? Yes. And we've insulated ourselves by hiring a great team around us, people that have been to Hollywood that when the opportunities are brought to us, they're already vetted. But I've told both kids, I'm like, look, I know you guys are on another level as far as people coming at you, but that's life. I mean, people are always, whether you're the principal of a school or whatever,
true.
People are always going to say,
the CEO, hot one minute, that's how it works.
You could potentially give someone an internship or whatever. Yeah. There's all these reasons why people are going to try to get to know you and try to get something from you. That's life. And you just got to kind of navigate through that. And they do, I guess, pretty well.
Yeah, I think so.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Well, everyone needs to check out the other D'Amelios. I really appreciate you guys sitting down with me and getting to know you. And I was, you know, poking around as I do just to see, you know, what y'all feel and think. And appreciate getting to know you guys. And thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us. This was awesome.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Well, make sure you click to subscribe. Check out the other D'Amelios podcast. Rate this podcast. Like, give it a bunch of ratings really high. Or give it low ones. Or you could be a hater like we were talking about and be like, oh, Coach Mike's voice is so annoying. And by the way, I don't care because you're probably not buying my book. So, lots of love. Talk to you next time and keep it magical. The Always Evolving with Coach Mike Bear podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended as a replacement or substitution for any professional, medical, financial, legal, or other advice, diagnoses, or treatment. This podcast does not constitute the practice of medicine or any other professional service. The use of any information provided during this podcast is at the listener's own risk. For medical or other advice appropriate to your specific situation, please consult a physician or other trained professionals.